As John made mention a few moments ago, last Sunday morning was an exciting morning for us as John and Gerald Langford and myself were appointed as elders in this congregation, and then also with the two baptisms and restoration that we had at the end of the service. So it was an exciting morning in every respect. If you weren't here and you want to hear what all took place, I did record it last week, and I'd be happy to provide a CD for you to listen to the lesson that Dwight gave and the whole process that took place last Lord's Day morning. Just let me know about that, and I'd be glad to provide that for you. But also, John made mention that we had our first meeting last Sunday night because there were some things on our mind to talk about as soon as possible, and the first is some unfinished business, if you will. Over in the book of Philippians chapter 1, and in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, or with the elders and deacons, or overseers and deacons, whichever translation that you have. But we have appointed now elders to oversee the congregation here, but now we need to turn our attention to the subject of deacons and appointment of deacons in the near future. And so today we are going to begin present a couple of lessons to prepare us as a congregation for the selection of deacons. And we are still talking about some things with regards to all of this that we'll figure out and let you know about before the time is due, but we're still working on some things, but these lessons are the first step that we'll go ahead and start looking at with you. This morning we're going to look at two things. First of all, we're going to talk about deacons, or three things, I guess. We're going to talk about deacons, and then we're going to talk about the work that we should expect deacons to do, what their role is in the congregation, but then we also want to talk about our responsibility to them, just like we did when we talked about elders. We talked about their qualifications. We'll talk about the qualifications of deacons next Lord's Day morning. We talked about their work, and we talked about our work or our responsibilities toward them. And we'll do the same today with regards to deacons. I first of all want to consider some misconception about deacons. Some things that some people apparently think about deacons that are not right, and so let's consider them as we begin this morning. And the first is this point, that deacons are junior elders. There are some who believe that deacons in a congregation are junior elders, that elders and deacons both are in positions of oversight over the congregation, but that they are in positions of oversight in different ways, that the elders are to oversee the spiritual work, some would think, and the deacons are to oversee the physical things pertaining to the congregation. And we see that mindset expressed sometimes in congregations that have elders and deacons, when perhaps prayers are offered and asking God to be with the elders and deacons who oversee the church. Well, the elders oversee the church, there's no question about that, but the deacons, we're going to see this morning, are not overseers of the church. Their role is that of servants. They are servants in the church, and we're going to see that as we go through our lesson this morning. And so they're not overseers. I guess in a very extremely limited sense, they'll be overseers of a particular area of work, but they're not overseers of the church. They're overseers, if you will, of that small area of work. Deacons are not a ruling body, but a serving body who carry out policy. They don't create it. Elders plan the work. Deacons work the plan, might be one way of saying it. And so they have a work to carry out on behalf of the congregation, but they are not junior elders. Let's put that concept out of our minds. But neither are they elders in training. The thinking of some people is that when it comes time for more elders, that we'll just promote, if you will, from those that are serving as deacons. And that thinking may be because in a lot of organizations in this world, it sort of works that way. It may be that every year or every other year that the president of this organization may step aside, and then the vice president steps up and becomes the president. Maybe the treasurer becomes the vice president, the secretary becomes the treasurer, and just sort of going through the chairs, as they call it. But that's not the concept of the Lord's church, That's not the concept of the organization of the local church, and we need to make sure that we understand that that's not the concept. Indeed, when the time comes that we are looking out amongst ourselves to find if there are men qualified to serve as elders again, indeed, we may look at someone who is serving as a deacon, and it would only be natural that we would consider those men. They have been out in front of us doing their work, and we've seen them in action in some respects, and so we might think about them and consider them to be an elder, but it won't be because they were a deacon. It wasn't a stepping stone for them to become an elder. It's not a stepping stone to becoming an elder. And it is a completely different work altogether. And that's what we have to understand. If they are appointed from the deacons, they're not getting a promotion. It's because they were qualified to serve as an elder. And that would be the reason for it. But we need to understand that serving as a deacon is an end in and of itself. That the work of an elder and deacon are completely separate and apart from one another should be clear from the fact that different qualifications are needed to be an elder or to be a deacon, because the work of being an elder and the work of being a deacon are completely different. They are different, and therefore, if one should be appointed to be a deacon, they are fulfilling a good work there, and there's no connection to the eldership directly in that sense. A man may serve his whole life as a deacon, not his whole life, he may serve for years rather as a deacon and never become an elder, and that's not a slight against him at all. Because there are men who are qualified to serve as deacons who may never be qualified for one reason or another to serve as elders. But another point I wanted us to think about with regards to misconception, and that is the idea that deacons are the only servants that are in the local church. And as such, then, that we are to rely on them to do everything that needs doing, that the rest of us don't have to do anything. Well, that's not the case. Elders oversee the church, but deacons are to be servants of the church. But we should understand that the word that is used for deacons, that Greek word that is translated deacon or deacons in the New Testament, is a word that's used a lot of times in different ways, talking about all of us. All of us as Christians are to be deacons in the sense of servants in one respect or another. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, we might note that one real quick. It says, "Not so shall it be among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister." So it uses the word minister here instead of the word deacon, but it's the exact same Greek word. The exact same Greek word as deacon is translated here as minister. Or over in Matthew 23 and 11. "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." The word servant, the deaconos, the Greek word diakonos, is the word for deacon. Or John 12 and verse 26. "If any man serve," and that word serve is from a related form of that same word for deacon. "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant," that's the same Greek word as deacon, "there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor." We're all to be servants. We're all to be ministering servants. And that's from the exact same Greek word as we have translated for the word deacon. And so clearly all of us are to be servants one to another and servants in the congregation. The fact of the matter is that we all possess talents that God has blessed us with. And every congregation needs to utilize those talents that are within the congregation of whatever sort or nature that they might be. And we need to put those talents to use for the cause of Christ. And so we should not expect that when we appoint deacons that they will be doing all the work, because they will not be doing all the work. We will try to utilize the talents of every member in this congregation as best we can, that you can contribute your part to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ here. It may be that there are those in the congregation who are especially talented in certain areas of life, maybe because of your occupation. You work on heating and air conditioning systems. So we may utilize your talents, whether you're appointed as a deacon or not. We may utilize those talents or landscape type work or whatever it might be. And so we may make use of you in every way that we can. The deacons aren't going to be the only ones working. Deacons aren't the congregation's slave corps to do all the work for us, allowing us to just sit back and do nothing. But they're going to be appointed to special areas of work that will need to be carried out. Now let's turn our attention to the responsibilities of deacons in the congregation. And these are just sort of some general ideas or general thoughts pertaining to them and their responsibilities. But let's first of all focus our attention on the word for deacon, that Greek word diakonos. And as I've already suggested, it is translated in different ways. In fact, you can find that it is used in the King James Version. It's translated ministers 20 times. It is translated servants 7 times and deacons only 3 times. And a couple more times in a related form of the word translated deacon or deacons. And so these words are, themselves tell us a little bit about the concept of what we're talking about as far as a deacon. A deacon is someone who serves. That's what a minister is. That's what a servant is. That's what a deacon is, someone who serves. And that's what deacons are. They are servants. The word means, is one who executes the commands of another. And let me see, where is that in? Oh, yeah, get down here. Find my place in my notes here. One who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, attendant, minister. Those were the definitions given by Henry Thayer in his Greek English lexicon. And so just from the use of the word deacon, we ought to understand that what we're not talking about overseers of the church. We're not talking about the bishops or the elders of the church. We're talking about those who are in a position of service. They are servants of the church. They are to serve. They are not to rule. Their work is an assigned work, assigned to them by those who have authority over them, which in the congregation is the elders of the congregation. It would be their duty, their responsibility to carry out the responsibilities given to them by the elders as they oversee the congregation as a whole. But I also want us to turn our attention to Acts, the 6th chapter. In Acts chapter 6, we have an example, in essence, of deacons being appointed. Now, you'll not find the word deacon itself used in our English translations in these verses. And yet, as we look at these verses, we can't help but see the connection to deacons and the work of service. This is in Acts chapter 6, and I want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 6 so we all have the story before us. It says, "Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Look ye out therefore, brethren, from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pharminas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them." Now, as we again, although we don't find them called deacons in these verses, and although the qualifications of those that they would choose for this work are different from what we find in 1 Timothy 3 for the deacons that we're talking about, we still cannot deny that they are being appointed, specially appointed for work within the congregation, and that's the work of a deacon. That's what we're talking about as far as deacons are concerned. They were appointed to be over the daily ministration And you see a related word used in that word ministration as that Greek word diakonos for deacon. And that they also, they were to serve. Verses 1 and 2 talked about those words. And again, that's the word, a word related or a similar word to diakonos for deacon. But these men served as deacons, whether we call them that or not. And they were being appointed, as we read, because Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. They were there in Jerusalem. They needed to be taken care of. And it would appear that that the Hebrew Jews, or the Hebrew Christians, the Christians in the area around Jerusalem, were doing their job of taking care of their widows, but in their responsibilities, they were not taking care of the Grecian widows like they should have been doing. And as a result, they were being neglected, and hard feelings were arising as a result of that. And so the apostles say that they need to appoint special men to take care of this work. To appoint special men who can see to it that this responsibility of taking care of these widows is not done improperly. That all of the widows are being taken care of, and not favoritism not being shown to any. Because the Hebrew Christians, they didn't think as much of the Grecian or the Gentile converts as they did their fellow Grecians, or fellow Hebrews rather. And so some were being neglected. But these men served. They served the apostles, allowing the apostles to keep themselves focused on prayer and the ministry of the word, as it said. They also served the congregation in that this need was being taken care of for the congregation. And they're also serving the ones who were in need. And so they're serving as being deacons, if you will, in all three of those areas. But also I wanted us to think about the fact that they are to be examples of faithful service. They're to be examples, ultimately, of faithful service. If all Christians are to be servants, then why do we need special servants? Why do we need specially qualified men appointed as deacons and not just all of us do the work? Well, when you look there in Acts chapter 6, there was a system in place to feed these widows. There was a daily ministration, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working again because favoritism was being shown towards some. Others were being excluded. And it wasn't being done right. It wasn't being done well. And so special men needed to be found and appointed that would see the job was done right, that it was done fairly and in a complete and proper manner, that the needs of all of these widows could be properly taken care of. And so men of high caliber were called for. And there in Acts chapter 6, again in verse 3, he says to find from among you seven men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom they could appoint over this business. We're going to talk about the qualifications of deacons next Lord's Day morning, but very quickly, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 8, Paul lists the qualifications of a man that would serve as a deacon. And notice that likewise, it is clear that he is to be a person of high quality. 1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 8, he says, "Deacons in like manner must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacons if they be blameless." Verse 12, "Let deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that serve well as deacons gain to themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." It should be clear from both of these passages that these men are to be of a high caliber. They're to be of a high quality and caliber of a person in their faith and their service in the sight of God. Why? I would suggest two reasons. First of all, so that the apostles in Acts 6 and so that the elders with regards to deacons can know that the job is being done and being done right and being done well. After the apostles appointed or had them to appoint these seven men to serve in this capacity, to serve tables, we don't see any other problems pertaining to the feeding of those widows. They were able to take care of the problem, take care of the issue, and a part of that was because of the qualifications that those men had to meet in order to, first of all, be appointed to that job. And the same would be true today. As we find amongst ourselves men who are qualified to serve as deacons and we appoint them to various areas of work in this congregation, it'll be our expectation, our anticipation that they will accomplish those duties very, very well, just because of the nature of the person that they are. And so that's one reason. But again, the whole point here that I'm making now is that that they can be an example to others. By reason of their being men of high caliber, being appointed to these special responsibilities, then we can expect that they are showing themselves to be an example to others of service. Again, we are all to be servants. We are all to be serving in the Lord's work here. And so they can be an example to all of us of the kind of faithful and reliable and honorable servants that we ought to be toward the Lord, toward one another. They can also be an example that by their willingness to serve in this way, they can be an example to others, to inspire them to make sure that they are qualified to serve as deacons as well. So they can be an example to the congregation. But I wanted to turn our attention around, as I've suggested, and consider what some of our duties are to the deacons. Once we have appointed them, we have some responsibilities we'll need to think about. For one, we'll need to be aware of who they are and of what duties that they've been assigned to accomplish. Now, again, we are working on the list of duties that we're going to be expecting deacons to fulfill. And once that time comes when we have appointed men to accomplish those various areas of work, make sure you know who those men are and you know which area of work that they've been assigned to oversee, that they've been assigned to take care of. And that way, when a particular need might arise in your particular life that touches on one of those responsibilities, you'll know exactly who to go to, because that's the person we will have appointed to take care of that area of work. And we might be talking about benevolence. We might be talking about the administration of benevolent needs in the congregation. And if you find yourself in need of that sort of thing, then that would be the deacon that you would need to be in touch with, because it is their responsibility to take care of that particular area of work. And so just simply remember, once they have been appointed, to make sure you know who they all are and what responsibilities have been given to each of them, so that you can turn to them in your time of need. But also, I would suggest we need to cooperate and assist them as needed. They're going to have to have help in some of their areas of responsibilities. When you think about Acts chapter 6 and those seven men who were appointed to serve tables, did they do it all by themselves? I don't think they did. I don't believe that they were put in a position to do all of the work personally themselves. In fact, there in Acts chapter 6, it was made clear that they were appointed over that matter, which that very word suggests that there were others that were helping to take care of the actual work. They were to be put over the matter of feeding the needy widows. And so others were to help. In fact, stop and think for a moment. How many people do you suppose there were? Well, we know that there were 3,000 people that obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 4, it tells us that the number of men had raised up to 5,000. In chapter 5 and verse 14 of Acts, it just stops giving numbers. It just says multitudes, both of men and women. Chapter 6 and verse 1 began by saying that the number of the disciples was multiplying. Chapter 6 and verse 7, the number multiplied exceedingly, it says. Thousands and thousands. We don't know how many. If just 1 or 2% were in need of that daily ministration, then they were trying to deal daily with hundreds of people. And I think it's logical for us to see and understand that they had people that were there to help them. that were there to help carry out this work, that they were put in charge of seeing that it was being taken care of. Well, deacons are going to be put in a position of authority over areas of work. And they may well need our help in putting in place the solutions that they find for those particular areas of responsibilities. I mean, there may be, if we're talking about, maintaining the grounds here, and it may be some real heavy work needs to be done that more than one person just can't do. And so we may all be called upon to come and help. Well, we need to be willing to do that when those times come. I want you to notice in these passages of Scripture, in Romans chapter 16 and the first couple of verses, and you'll find the word, that Greek word for a deacon, diakonos, you'll find that Greek word in this verse. Romans 16 and verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant, that's the word, who is a servant of the church that is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord worthily of the saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever matter she may have need of you, for she herself also hath been a helper of many and of mine own self. So here was someone who was a servant in the church, and he says, help, stand up and help, as the need may be. That's the same concept we should keep in mind for those who are appointed as deacons. In Philippians 4 and in verses 2 and 3, a similar kind of thing. Philippians 4 and in verses 2 and 3, it says, I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yea, I beseech thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. They're workers, help them. The same concept with deacons. We need to help them. And then finally there in 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves to minister unto the saints, that ye also be in subjection unto such, and to everyone that helpeth in the work and laboreth. This last one here, better than even the others, should make it clear to all of us that we should step up and help those who work and laboreth in the cause of Christ in this congregation. So as we are able to find and appoint men to serve as deacons in the congregation, we need to cooperate and assist them as best that we can. They may very well call on us, and we need to be willing to respond and step up and help them in carrying out their area of assigned work. But something else, we need to respect and love them. We need to respect and love them. They are an important part of the Lord's church and of the work that is being done, and we need to show our respect and love for them. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 16, 10 and 11. Paul says, now if Timothy come, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but set him forward on his journey in peace, that he may come unto me, for I expect him with the brethren. Don't despise him. He's a minister, a worker in the kingdom of God. Don't despise him. Show respect for him. Show respect and love for him is what Paul is saying, and that's what we need to do as well. We need to recognize that deacons will be carrying out a vital and important work in the congregation here, and we should show our love and respect for them as the willing servants of the Lord that they are. I have confidence that as they are appointed and they begin to carry out their work, that you'll reinforce them as best you can from time to time, that you'll express your appreciation for them and the work that they do because you respect and you love them. But one other thing we'll mention, and that is we need to pray for them. In fact, you remember back in Acts chapter 6 in the selection of those seven men, that that's what they did. They set those men before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them. But then over in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, I wanted us to notice in Ephesians 6 and verses 18 through 20. He's been talking about the Christian's armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and the various pieces of armor that he's listed in these previous verses. Verse 17, I'll begin. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He asks and encourages them to take on these various pieces of Christian armor with prayer and supplication. Offering prayers and supplication, he goes on to say, for all the saints. For all the saints. We need to be praying one for another. And that includes even those who are serving as deacons. We ought to pray for them. We ought to pray for them that they'll be able to faithfully execute the responsibilities that have been assigned to them. Like those seven men appointed to serve tables, that they were able to do their job well and those needs were taken care of. That's what we ought to be praying for with our deacons. That they'll be able to take care of their appointed duties. That the congregation here can prosper even more because of their faithful service. In Acts chapter 6 again, they were to appoint these men so that those tables could be served, so that the apostles could stay focused on the work given to them to do. We should pray that our deacons would be able to accomplish their work well, so that the elders, in fact, could keep their mind on the work that is given for them to do. We need to pray for their faithful service to the Lord. We need to pray for their faithful service so that they can influence others, that they also would seek to be qualified to serve as deacons, that they could inspire others to be faithful servants in the kingdom of God. We've gone through so many things very quickly this morning. And again, as I said, we're going to look at some additional things next Lord's Day morning as we look at the qualifications that are given by Paul of these that would serve as deacons. Some of those things we may have touched on already as we talked about elders. Some things are different. We'll look at those in our lesson next Lord's Day morning as we prepare to select men here to serve this congregation as deacons. I hope the men in the congregation will be thinking about themselves and their particular situations, considering whether you meet those qualifications or not, whether you are willing to serve in the responsibilities that will need to be taken care of here in this congregation. We're anxious to move forward and to appoint them and to begin effective work in this congregation. If you're here this morning, you're subject to our Lord's invitation. We don't want to end without saying a word or two to you. As we said last Lord's Day morning, we were, by the appointment of us three as elders, we were showing our respect for the Lord and His will as far as the governance of the church is concerned. And that we also need to think about the Lord's will as far as being members of His church. And three responded last Lord's Day morning. Are you one who needed to respond at that time and you didn't? Were you not here, but now you realize today you are here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? If you've never become a Christian, you need to take care of that while you have the opportunity. Today is an opportunity that the Lord has given to you to make things right in His sight. If you've not been living like you should, get back on course. He's promised to forgive you. We'd be happy to pray with you, pray for you, that the sins of your life might be forgiven. So if in any way you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, we are inviting you to come while we're standing and while we're singing.